Welcome to a brand new episode. Sorry.
We're in a smaller room.
Welcome to a brand new episode of the ZC Podcast, where three friends gather around in order to save Gotham City from all the things that are evil. As always, I'm the boy wonder, Zach. Join with me is the big bat himself,
Zach.
And rounding out the podcast is our commissioner, the beacon of light himself.
The beacon of light.
You know, because he stands on top of the rooftop and then shoots off the beacon, the bat signal.
I thought you were saying I was the bat signal.
You could be the bat signal.
Do you want to be the bat signal?
Just be sitting there and click.
Bzzz. See, eventually, like, far gone hope and dream, like, we do this enough, we get a higher dedicated fan base of teenagers that have nothing to do, and they do fan art of every single goddamn intro. Because then it's up to their interpretation
at
that point.
Internet. Tim Husky, you have a new task.
I'm Robin, that's Batman, and Steve's the bat signal.
You're not going to be Nightwing?
Oh, dude, Robin's way cooler. Here, you want to see my Damian impression? That's it. So, how have you guys been?
I didn't know we were doing, like, life talk here.
I made a decision last night of I'm foregoing water cooling.
Oh, you gave up on it?
It's not going well. It's stressing me out. It's not going well. And I'm just like, I'm done.
And you're doing it yourself, too. Like, that's like
I gave it a fucking shot twice. I'm just like, yeah.
Maybe down the line you can get like a custom.
Maybe, yeah.
Or not a custom rig, a pre-built.
You get like an origin. Or
maybe. Micro Center actually partnered with a company that's doing like custom pre-built loops.
Okay. But, I thought you were going to say it's like you just bring in like three boxes of tubes and everything. It's like, I tried.
Do it.
I tried.
I bought a lot of tubing.
It's like, and I have the evidence.
So I'm going the route of like a big beefy air cooler instead for overclocking potential. And luckily there's a subreddit that's like Craigslist, but devoted to just selling PC components. I already sold like half the water cooling components.
There you go.
So I'm like, okay, I'll make some money back on this. It won't be that bad of a hit.
You won't be like super far into the hole.
Yeah.
Dude, I can play video games.
It was experience though.
Like that's the bright side. I can play video games.
I know. We still have
it. Who needs a water cooling PC? Because my grades are due this week.
I haven't had a PC for like 3 weeks and we haven't played a single round of Siege.
Because I have a life again. I was home before 5 o'clock today.
I had to wait for a house inspector this morning. Literally took 30 seconds for what they had to do. I'm like, cool.
For the roof.
Yeah, that was like the final thing. Is like, all right, let's take a picture and we're good.
Also, I'll tell my dad he can expect his referral bonus then.
Yeah, I need to. I should actually make sure they're gonna send that over.
It's like MeUndies.
Because he asked the other day, like, hey, how's your roof going? I'm like, it's good. It's done. Like inspection. Like, I don't know. It's like, cool. I haven't seen my check yet. I'm like, you bloodsucker.
Yeah. I'll contact them. Make sure. Cause I thought they were aware of it, but maybe I need to like, reiterate it.
Well, they don't send out the check until everything is 100% done.
So it had to be final inspection. I got the invoice.
Right.
I'm just waiting for processing crap. So maybe that's why.
Speaking of things processing. Sorry.
What adult stuff?
Robert Pattinson.
Well, you
may
say adult stuff.
Or may not be our brand new Batman.
Is this not actually confirmed? I thought it was.
It's between two people.
So the top two people are Nicholas Holt and Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I've seen a lot of things of like Robert Pattinson would be a good Batman if they did a Batman Beyond story.
He'd be a good Terry. I think he'd be a good Terry as well.
He would be a great Terry, and then you have Michael Keaton as Bruce.
Yes. And, of course, the internet being the entitled babies they are, the minute...
Change.org position, motherfuckers!
The minute the word of, like, yeah, he's going to be Batman, like, petition to recast. Like, can you imagine how Robert Pattinson must feel?
He did not work his ass off in indie films for the last, like, 4 years.
He's gotten so good!
Yeah, like, not even gotten good. He's been a good actor...
Just Twilight.
He just got the shit end of the stick with Twilight. Because you can only be such a great actor when you have that kind of script.
And you kind of think about it. It's like, how many people from Twilight are still going.
Kristen Stewart's doing fine.
Kristen Stewart, Anna Kendrick,
Ron Pattinson. Can you name another actor?
Taylor Lautner?
No, he's gone.
He had a couple appearances, kind of took
a break from acting,
which is fine when you know.
Well, when you go right for like when your career like the highlights everyone remembers is Twilight and Sharkboy and Lava Girl.
And, you know, you're looking at the situation, it's just like, man, they're having Robin Pattinson play this moody teenager, 20-year-old something, who dresses up as a... okay.
Also, I'm there. Heath I got it. Ledger. They did the same shit.
Dude, they were upset when Michael Keaton got cast.
Like,
they've been upset with everybody that's been cast. Like, even Christian Bale got some flack when he was cast.
I'm sorry, Batman. We're not going to get Kevin Conroy to do live-action Batman, everyone.
And it's just kind of upsetting, like, as all these things are coming out, even Clooney came out and was like, yeah, I told Ben Affleck not to do it, and it's just like, but why? Like, Ben Affleck was legitimately my favorite Batman. Yeah. I love Keaton. I really do.
I love Keaton. Affleck I love is the Bale.
Best version of Bruce Wayne and I think you said Batman.
The best interpretation.
I will say, Clooney, great Bruce Wayne. Terrible Batman, because him just playing the charming playboy, like,
oh sure,
it's George Clooney, but when he put the bat suit with the nipples on, then it's like,
wasn't his choice.
No, it wasn't. It was Schumacher,
but they were still out there.
Rahul Cooley actually had a really great thing about this on Twitter. So when the DC fans, quote unquote fans, in my opinion, launched multiple petitions against Ron Pattinson playing Batman, he said, "You're effectively protesting someone's job interview, which isn't particularly nice. Trusting the creators to tell the story they want to tell. Don't like it? Vote with your wallet. You don't know what an actor is capable of until you've seen the final product. Have faith. Batman or bat emoji."
Yeah, it's like, imagine you were like, all right, I'm going to go interview for this IT position. And as you're walking to the building, there's people outside like, no, don't give them the IT position.
They suck.
It's like, what did I do to you? I just existed.
Who are you people?
My other favorite tweet that's been coming out of this from Erica Fails on Twitter. People are really mad that the actor who played a dark, mysterious, tragic figure of the night for girls is playing a dark, mysterious, tragic figure of the night for boys. And it's just like, again, the outrage culture is so insane to me. Like, you can be unhappy about something that you've experienced, well, yeah, I feel.
Like, at first, I was skeptical of, like, Robert Pattinson as Bruce Wayne. I don't know. But then people were like, yeah, no, Terry McGinnis. I'm like, I could see that.
That one, it's like, that one I'd rather see now.
Yeah.
I feel like he'd do better at that.
But, like, again, I feel so bad for Robert Pattinson of, like, you might be Batman, like, it's between you and one other person, and be like, oh sweet, I'm feeling so great, I'm gonna be fucking Batman, and you go online like, petition to not cast him, like, cool.
I'm trying to remember what Nicholas Holt looks like.
He's Beast from X-Men.
Kind of squinty eyes. And
I honestly would prefer Robert Pattinson. Yeah. I feel like Robert Pattinson would be better.
He just looks older.
Well, yeah, yeah. He looks like he has the ability to be the more, like, suave, debonair Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, he looks like when he's scruffy, he looks like the Batman I always picture of, like, yeah, he's, like, worn and torn from fighting crime and going out every single night.
And when he has to
clean up, he can still do it, but you can still tell, it's like, he looks worn a little bit.
Well, and I can also see them making this, like, a prequel film. Since he's younger than Affleck, be like,
could be a Batman.
Yeah, like, this is how, like, when Batman and Deathstroke first faced off, and, like, that's why
they're still doing that. We don't know.
Well, yeah, if that's the script they're going, again, they could, like, out of nowhere be like, yeah, I don't know that script. Batman Beyond, motherfucker.
I would, it'd be so cool, because then it would definitely throw everyone for a loop of, oh, we're not redoing the same Batman story we've seen 100 times.
What do you mean we don't watch the Waynes die? How am I supposed to know his origin story?
Still one of my greatest. I can't remember what it was.
It's Bernie.
It was a tweet of, like, sequels. It was people not understanding the concept of a sequel. It's like, people like you are why we get to watch Bruce Wayne's parents die every
day. Yeah, that was Bernie.
But I can't remember what it was in relation to.
I think they were also talking about Spider-Man, because just how Homecoming is an origin film, but it's not.
Yeah.
They don't show Uncle Ben getting gunned down in the alley for once, or in the street. I don't know. I know the exact thing.
I'm going to try and...
I think it is about Homecoming.
I think I screen saved it. It wasn't about Homecoming. It was more recent than that.
It's also people like you are the reason why McDonald's has two windows at the drive-thru. That's my favorite insult, and no one gets it because it's been so long.
And if you just think about, like, most of the times if there's two windows, only one's used. Yeah. Like, think about it.
Anyway, what's really interesting, too, is that Pattinson is kind of gaining traction. He has four films coming out this year. Damn. And then he has a fifth film coming out with Nolan next year. So it seems as though,
what is he doing with Nolan?
Nolan's untitled project.
Well, okay, that's why we haven't heard of it.
Yeah, so this... So, The Batman from Matt Reeves could potentially start filming in late 2019 or early 2020. Wow, Pattinson is so about to shoot another film for WB, Nolan's event movie co-starring John David Washington, which is supposed to open in July of 2020. Pattinson's also opening with Claire Denis's High Life. He's also appearing in Robert Eggers' The Lighthouse, which bows at the Cannes Film Festival, The King for Netflix, and Waiting for the Barbarians. Wow. So I feel as though like we're also going to get a good view at... all of
here's his acting range, which is interesting. This is also good press for him of like, if people really want to see how he would be in Batman, they're probably going to watch some of these movies now.
So it wasn't a Bernie tweet. It was in relation to Kingdom Hearts 3.
Ah.
Because people were complaining they tried to play the others to understand Kingdom Hearts 3. So his reaction was, people like you are the reason we see Batman's parents die in every movie because you don't understand the concept of sequels.
It's a fair point. What do you mean Uncle Ben died?
What do you mean there were 22 other movies before the Avengers Endgame?
Again, kudos to Homecoming for being the only Spider-Man movie to not show Uncle Ben die.
Any of the sequel Spider-Man
show? They still show Uncle Ben die.
Do they? What about...
In Spider-Man 2, they go over everything that happened and show Uncle Ben dying. And in 3, it's all about finding Sandman, whose partner shot Uncle Ben.
Supidaman, the emissary from hell.
I don't think they had an Uncle Ben in that one.
Yeah, because he was the emissary from hell.
Who also had a giant mecha.
Leopardon, man. Just saying.
Oh, Leopardon.
Dude, just saying. Someone was like, "What's your favorite Marvel superhero? Supidaman? You mean Spider-Man?" I'm like, No.
Let me introduce you to Spider-Man. Supidaman.
The guy who literally sends people to hell. And they're like, why?
He eventually becomes the emissary of hell. Or after like five different iterations of him coming up with a call mantra.
My other favorite one is, so we were watching Spider-Verse for like the upteenth time because my students keep asking. Because representation matters.
So fucking but good.
Someone was like, "What's your favorite version of Spider-Man?" Spider-Man. What?
Yeah, Spider-Man. Look them up.
Trolling people now.
They're like, "That's not real, is it?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's a group of spiders that think they're the collective hive mind of Peter Parker. He just leaks spiders all the time.
He literally shoots spiders at people."
So how long until you introduce the Nazi made of bees?
I remember when you didn't believe me about that. It's still my favorite thing ever.
I'm like, this is probably true, and I don't want
it
to be.
It's the Doom Patrol effect. You could just say something, and I'll just believe it's real at this point.
Doom Patrol.
Is that a Silver Age thing, Zach? I'm like, I don't know. Probably. Nazi made out of bees. Just saying.
The Nazi bees.
So yeah, it's interesting, and you know, a lot of people are giving him flack as being Edward Cullen. But I think Tim had my favorite comment. It's like, Cedric Diggory did not die.
I was gonna say, he's motherfucking Cedric Diggory before he was Edward Cullen.
It's just like, man, everyone was in fucking Harry Potter. It's like the MCU at this point.
Well, yeah, because there was another...
It's that and Scott Pilgrim. They're the most influential movies of the last, like, 10 years.
Well, it's like the thing of, like, Doctor Who actors you didn't know were in Harry Potter. Game of Thrones actors you didn't know who were in Harry Potter. And watching them, like, oh, fuck, Davos was in Harry Potter?
What?
NFL superheroes. NFL stars in Game of Thrones.
Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers.
Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran is not an NFL superstar.
But just the random people.
Unless that suddenly it's like, and with the first pick of the NFL draft, the Detroit Lions draft Ed Sheeran.
Anyways, here's The Shape of You.
Bold choice there, Detroit. Let's see how it pays off.
Has the Fan Control Football League started yet?
I don't know.
I think they're still in the. their testing phase, and they're still trying to find like the last four managers.
Okay, I really want to see the Kind of Funny Milk Mommies take it home.
I can't believe they named themselves that.
Oh, is that their official name?
Yeah.
Fuck yes.
They had a vote.
I'm sure it was a KFAF bit that got converted into that.
Let's see. Countdown to the Fan Controlled Fan League is 175 days, 7 hours, and 9 minutes. Let's see, do they have all the owners? Let's see, Prince Royce, Marshawn Lynch, Richard Sherman, Ocho Cinco, Kind of Funny, and then three to yet to be determined.
It's so weird.
Oh. Okay. So I saw a tweet just happening. It was like, Call of Duty 2020 in trouble, and I'm
Apparently Infinity War, or Treyarch.
Sledgehammer. Well, okay, no, Sledgehammer's currently developing it. They're right. In trouble, and Treyarch is going in.
Right, Treyarch's apparently going to be, like, trying to make Black Ops 5.
Because Activision moved them in the cycle.
Yeah, so it's like, ooh, that could hurt.
Yeah, it's like, we're still working on Black Ops 4 stuff. Like,
not anymore.
How about Black Ops 5 while you're doing that? No.
I mean, even with, like, three-year development cycles, you kind of got to think, like, they have kind of a system in place since most of the games, like, core mechanics don't change too much.
Right, but when you're thrown 2 years ahead in the cycle.
Sure. It's going to fuck things up. But I feel like it's probably not the worst thing for them to happen.
Activision could probably benefit from them just being like, hey, let's pull an Assassin's Creed on this one.
Take a year off.
Wait a year.
Ah, man. That'd be a bold move that probably
won't
happen.
But what about all of the Dorito and Mountain Dew sales?
I thought they could still be like, all right, Treyarch, you keep pumping out shit for Black Ops. Like, you got a Battle Royale mode. Just keep milking that till it dies, and then we'll put out the next Call of Duty.
Hmm.
Call of Duty
pre-warfare. I don't think that's how Activision works, so. They have investors that probably don't understand video game culture, so they're just like, yes, more money because you made it another game.
You know, while the studios were like, Assassin's Creed takes a year off. Maybe we should try that. Actors are like, cowards.
When was the last time a Halo game came out? Meanwhile, Microsoft is like, soon, my child. They're staring like the growing lab and just a disc is forming inside of it. It's like Cell Saga.
It's like they're digitizing a Master Chief and putting it into the disc. Soon it will be complete.
Someone's over there with a HoloLens playing Minecraft. What are you doing, Fred?
I'm building the Halo. It's like the Minority Report thing where he has the gloves on and he's just creating all these things. It's like, what is he doing? He's making Infinite.
All right. The next thing, keeping up on Batman, the first Batwoman trailer came out and
it looks good.
This looks like CW's most expensive pilot.
I felt like it was not. It looked fine in terms of like all the effects and like the costumes and everything. But like the trailer itself was kind of like it seemed low quality in terms of like adding anything to it.
Well, yeah, the trailer was straight up just episode one. It was just them showing like highlights from episode one, not giving away the meat and potatoes of the season. And then you know, like, the end of the episode is going to be the Batwoman costume.
Yeah,
like, sure. Now there's more stuff.
It seems as though, too, like, with Arrow ending next season, it's just like, all right, we got to put all of our money on a new show. Especially since, like, I think this is going to start airing simultaneously with Arrow. Because I think the last Crisis event is supposed to take 5 shows to crossover.
Well, it is Infinite Earth, so.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool. Like they're kind of going, like I always enjoyed how Arrow was like, let's be a little true to the comics. Like, especially those early seasons, especially right. Flash did the same thing. Like, let's do this. Like her Alfred essentially is supposed to be Luke Fox. So we got Batwing and potentially making an appearance. We have Alice making. Mm-hmm. We have Alice appearing. We have her father in it. And it's like, oh, these are all the core things that make Batwoman.
Like,
and the suit is like one of my favorite CW costumes.
Yeah, and they're sticking with her dad being like the head of a military contractor, essentially.
The colony?
Yeah.
Is it going to happen so soon?
Kind of.
At the same time, CW seems to do that where it's like, let's get the A-list villain first. It's like, shouldn't we like build up to that maybe? so you don't blow, like, get everyone super excited, and then, like, your next villain's like, yeah, and then, shit, who was next? Who's up on the list as well?
I mean, Flash milked Merlin for, like...
You mean Arrow?
Sorry. Arrow milked Merlin for a while. I guess. And then Thawne appeared again in Flash this season.
Well, yeah, but in a different light. But well, and at the same time, Flash was lucky enough to have multiple A-list villains. Of like,
true.
Like, all right, we got Reverse Flash done. But who's next? Professor Zoom.
Yeah, thing with... Yeah, Batwoman doesn't have, like, a ton of villains, though, to pull from unless she starts pulling from Batman's.
I think they will, just because they're playing it as Batman's gone.
Yeah,
like,
I guess
Bruce
so.
Wayne has... left Gotham, Batman's gone, so I don't think his rogues gallery
is just
gonna
disappear.
I guess
she does interact with Scarecrow quite a bit.
Unless the vampires and werewolves come in. Again, like, that's a thing. Like, Batman deals with the regular crazy people, and then Batwoman has, like, all the supernatural shit Batman doesn't want to deal with.
A little bit.
And that was, like, Paul Dini's...
Or all the drug-fueled baddies.
Yeah, like... Or not Paul Dini. Paul Dini? No, not Paul Dini.
Greg Rucka?
Yeah, Rucka and J.H. Williams, they made, like, Batwoman essentially be, like, the dark version, or, like, the mystical dark version of all of Gotham.
And then Marguerite Bennett turned that up to 11 with drugs.
Yep. That was a good arc.
I enjoyed that. Ended on a weird note, but...
Yeah, it seems as though CW, like, you know, they're just having to take chances now that Arrow's gone.
Well, at the same time, I think they might have been, like... having this one in their back pocket for a while, because you look at when it's coming out now that Gotham is done.
Yeah.
Like,
true.
They're like, oh, there's an absence of Batman and no one's using his rogues anymore. Ours.
Yeah. I wonder if that was a big contractual thing too with Fox. Like, maybe. As soon as they finished, like, all the rights lapsed back over.
Well, I think it'd be cool if they, like, even tried to bring in some of a... like, some other side characters. Like, it'd be cool to see, like, maybe they bring in Bluebird or something.
I knew you were going to say that.
I know.
I don't know, maybe if they brought in, I don't know, maybe.
I don't know, maybe Cassandra Cain or something, I don't know.
You know, Batwoman has that cousin, Bat Cain, who's Flamebird girl.
I don't know,
she has flamethrower wrists.
Maybe they could bring in, I don't know, Dick? I don't know, maybe. Yeah, Tim? Maybe.
You mean Rick?
No, we don't talk about Rick.
Literally, this last issue of Batman.
Yeah.
Batman's recruiting everyone. It's like, where's Dick? You know, he's still Rick. And it's just like, motherfucker! Hate
everything about it. Are you a little upset about that? Or?
You can tell, even. I feel like even Barbara is just like upset, saying, I was like, he's still Rick.
Oh, checks in on him. Man, still Rick.
God damn it.
Hey, Dick, it's Rick. Fuck.
I looked at the June solicitations. Or this past solicitations, Dan Jurgens is now on Nightwing, so, you know, the sixth writer to take over the book since it started. And it's like, and then Dick remembers something from his past. I'm like,
I was gonna
fucking
say,
finally!
I was going to say, you know what Dan Jurgens does.
Smaller room, quiet voice.
That's why I'm screaming around the corner.
I don't have
it still echoes.
Panels yet. Sorry.
We're in a small room that echoes into itself.
But you know what Dan Jurgens always does? He brings it back to center.
Or he ends it.
Yeah, either one.
And Nightwing died.
He's either the opener or the closer.
How do we get Superman to be a good symbol? Dan Jurgens, you killed Superman. How do we make Superman right? Well, I also brought him back to life. But you did kill him. Let's not forget that.
I mean, which one do you want from me?
Like, he's just sitting in a dark room like, how do we do something new with Superman? Kill him. But we don't want to end a series. Kill him.
And then bring him back. That's four different people.
Yeah. You make a cyborg version of him, a kid version of him, one made out of steel. And why not a composite one, too?
Yeah. Sounds about right. Yeah, I'm excited for Batwoman, though. I've done such a dog shit job of keeping up with CW lately.
I'm just like, I'm waiting for all the season finales, so I'll put it on Netflix, and I'll just binge it all.
And I thought Godspeed was supposed to be, like, the season 6 enemy. I looked up a synopsis. He's in one episode. I'm like, motherfucker.
Fuck disappoints me. Like, he is my favorite Flash. Like, I mean, he's the reason I kept reading Flash was the first arc with
Godspeed. I mean, they could do what they did with the comic, where it's like, he was in there for a little bit, disappeared, came back again, and then was a threat.
From the future, he's...
Right, but that if he's from the future, that could still open the opportunity of bringing in August.
It could be, yeah. It could be like a near future.
Like if they if they're like, yeah, new season. Like,
do you care for spoilers?
Yes, okay. I want to actually like. I've seen like blurbs here and there that I've been avoiding. Like actually, like
I'll just come to your cubicle at work. I'm like, so can't believe what they did with Godspeed.
All I'm gonna tell you because God, it,
no spoilers. No, but it's really disappointing.
He even fucking did that with Lucifer. I had already finished the season. He didn't even ask if I finished it yet, and he's like, by the way, end of Lucifer season 4 is great. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm like, yeah, no, I already finished it. So.
You should go up to him. It's like,
and,
it's
the and this is after. This is after. He's like, yeah, no, I don't like the season so far. I don't like what they're doing with Lucifer, making him cry. He's like, the season's about him learning to be more human. Like, of course he's gonna fucking cry and be upset about his actions.
I'm sorry you don't. Change. I'm sorry you don't know what emotion is. He's like, and that you don't
like, that's
cry.
Not the kind of Lucifer I like. Like, I don't give two shits what kind of Lucifer you like. I'm really liking this season. You're not gonna ruin it for me.
You should ask him to start watching Riverdale, so if someone
can. No, he already does.
Okay. I was gonna say, I looked up the synopsis
because I made the mistake of saying, yeah, no, Riverdale's pretty good. Like it's terrible, but it's good. He's like, okay, cool. Two days later, yeah, I watched all 2 seasons and halfway through the third. I'm like, what the fuck do you do with your life?
You're probably his only friend.
I guess so.
And, like, you shit on this guy, and he's probably sitting there, like, making little cards about you and him. He's like, I can't get this for his next birthday.
Well, it's like when he was out for some medical thing, and, you know, so our boss came around and was like, hey, we're going to, like, sign this card for when he comes back. And, like, partially as a joke, like, my comment, instead of just signing, it was like, you know, it's really quiet around here without you. And that's a good thing. And he's like, yeah, no, your comment made me laugh. I'm like, yeah, it was a joke.
It's that scene in Amazing Spider-Man 2. It's like, hey, Electro, you're going to help save this city. He's like, yeah,
I am. You mean it, really?
Yeah. You're his friend.
I know I am. And I shit on him. And sometimes I feel bad. But then he calls up. He's like, all right, work thing. And then I'm going to shit on Game of Thrones. Like, no, Twitter's doing that enough for me. And because I already know what your comment's going to be. Yo, not liking this. Because again, everything he's ever watched. He's like, yeah, no, I love this. Except they did with this here. Like, no, you don't need an except. Like, you liked it. Done.
You can have criticisms about you can, you like.
But when he finds a criticism with everything. Like, it could be the best episode of anything ever. He's like, yeah, it was a great episode. Because even the first episode of the season of Game of Thrones, he's like, yeah, no, I thought it was a great episode. But it could have used more Sam. Like, why? Why does that have to be the criticism of you needed to add more?
Actually, in my opinion, you need more hot pie.
He should have sat on the Iron Throne.
Then he would have indeed been a hot pie.
Jokes. I had a pun on my board. And it was just like a cool picture of koala and tea. And like, my jokes are
quality.
Yeah. And the kids were like, I just don't get it.
Spell it out.
Say it out loud. Yeah, koala coffee. That's why you don't get it.
Yeah. So you should have thought of like, you guys just don't have the right qualifications.
How do you separate? Never mind. Move on.
How do you separate koalas? Well, you can do it by religion. Very carefully. Skin color.
Make sure they don't touch your skin. Education.
Syphilis or non-syphilis.
I'm glad you went down that road. I went down a much darker path. How do you separate a koala? With a very sharp knife.
Or a spoon. No judgment. Okay, moving forward, we actually get our first look at the brand new Batman Hush trailer from, and it's part of the DC New 50 animated nonsense.
New 50 U.
It's called the DC.
DC EU because it's just the entertainment universe now, isn't it?
No.
Or is it the DCAU?
It's the new DCAU. Like NU new. Like, new metal.
That's my least favorite. Okay.
But it's basically all the New 52 stories, and then they're like, shit, no one likes these. Go back, go back.
Like, I mean, no, it's like, all right, wait, what do you mean we use all of the good New 52 storylines?
What do you mean we're at a snack shit, story?
Reset, reset.
I kind of wish there was a Kevin Conroy one, like a Tim or a Bruce Timm one, just because I want those voice actors doing like one of the most seminal Batman runs of all time. So
still need to watch Fatal Five.
I think it's on Universe now. I'll double check. Funny enough, this article uses the word seminal. An adaptation, the seminal DC classic tale, Batman Hush, centers on a shadowy new villain known only as Hush. He uses Gotham's rogues to destroy Batman's crime-fighting career, as well as Bruce Wayne's personal life, which has already been complicated by a relationship with Selina Kyle, a.k.a. Catwoman. It is based on Jeff Loeb and Jim Lee's Batman comic book run of the same name. There is a trailer out for it now on YouTube. It's coming July 20th to digital, arriving August 13th on Blu-ray DVD combo pack. $40. Damn. Oh, for 4K. For 4K.
Still, jeez.
So Batman Hush boasts a stellar voice cast led by primetime television stars Jason Amara, who has been Batman for all the new DCAU, as well as Jennifer Morrison voicing Catwoman. The cast also includes Jerry O'Connell as Superman.
I had to double check the Catwoman voice. I'm like, did they get Laura Bailey? Because she sounds like a lot like Laura Bailey.
Yeah. Rebecca Romijn for Lois Lane. Wilson. Sorry. Rainn Wilson as Lex Luthor. Vanessa Williams as Amanda Walker. Jason Spezak as the Joker.
Who's Lex Luthor?
Rainn Wilson.
Dwight
from
Schrute.
The Office. Yep.
Okay, Dwight Schrute is Lex Luthor.
Wow.
Painless as Batgirl. Painless also voices Poison Ivy. Jeffrey Arend as the Riddler. Sean Mayer as Nightwing. Maury Sterling as Thomas Elliott. And Bruce Thomas as Jim Gordon. And then the list keeps going because it's literally everyone. Oh, they're including Damian in this story too.
That's a new addition.
Okay, so
wasn't Damian in the original?
No, Tim was in the original. So they just get rid of Tim and put Damian in instead. Tim gets no love.
Hush also includes Jason before he's brought back to life.
Technically, just because it was like, no, it was secretly Clayface. And then Jude Winnick goes, no, that was Jason Todd. Headcanon, but let me write the story.
I do just like, they're like, oh, Tim's in the story, huh? You mean Damien's in this story. But where's Tim? Shh. We don't talk about Tim.
We've never actually gotten a real Tim Drake yet. Like, even the new Batman Adventures, that was like Jason Todd combined with Tim. Folly Group is a criminal.
Even Young Justice hasn't done it enough.
We haven't gotten enough about that Tim to really know if he's the real Tim.
Are your parents alive? They can be. Was your father killed by a boomerang? What?
Did you steal the tires off the Batmobile? No.
All right,
Jason did
that.
He's the dead one.
Yeah, he's the hologram in the basement.
Yeah.
Along with Ted Kord.
I do forget that we actually got Tim in Young Justice, just because that's the only version of that character that's kind of close to his comic book counterpart. Then again, it's hard to keep track of who's in Young Justice anymore. There's so many of them.
Well, the only reason we know it's Tim is because there's a hologram of Jason, Nightwing's around, and we saw baby Damian.
Yeah.
So, by process of elimination, last male Robin.
Baby Damian.
Actually, what's kind of cool, too, in Young Justice, I think one of the newer issues is Brian Michael Bendis saying, and Tim Drake's going to pick a new name, finally, is the solicit. And in this most recent issue, which is like the big arc closer, number 5, Tim was like, something's been tampering with my memories. Stephanie, you were a Robin once also. And my best friend, Connor, I don't know where he is. And I'm just like,
oh, shit.
And they do a flashback page. Zatanna does like a brain thingy. And like Slowbo's in it. Red Tornado's daughter's in the picture. Secret's in the picture. And I'm like, holy shit, that's actually the Young Justice team. Peter David, your team is around again. It's like, yeah, we just need to find our memories. And I'm just like, And now you're just dicking off in Gem World. You found Connor and his wife, and now what?
It's like, Tim's going to choose a new name. You look like a Red Robin. No. Never again.
Sparrow.
You can call me
Jack
Scarlet Sparrow. Robin.
What was his evil counterpart? Savior?
Yeah. We don't talk about him.
No. He's gone now. Let's not talk about him.
Like, you're like some sort of Red Robin. Yum.
All right. Speaking of yummy things, Sony and Microsoft are teaming up. Is this the end of the console war?
No.
I did see like an Onion article that popped up.
There was new news about it today too.
Well, I don't know what this news is, but I saw an Onion article pop up of like just to get back at Sony, Microsoft announced the PlayStation 6 right after the PlayStation 5 announcement.
That's a good one.
Sorry, I'm trying to recommend someone play Stardew Valley. So this is coming from
Engadget. Spread your evil.
It's important work.
It's Friday, and we'll have to wait until next week for the SpaceX launch. Beats new true wireless earbuds and an unexpected online gaming alignment between Microsoft and Sony. Oh God,
Christ! I picked the wrong.
There's
article.
So many ads.
I'm so sorry.
I'm like, oh.
I use Firefox now, and it has built-in ad blocker, so I don't see these.
Ad.
Wait, what? No, even this whole page is like it's
polygon.
Yeah, article, Pro Beats review, Robert Downey Jr., sorry. Apple TV, Lenovo, now Sony and Microsoft team up.
I'm gonna go open Forbes.
I'm so sorry.
I think you may have just like got the splash page, and then you have to actually go to the article itself.
Okay. Microsoft, and this is coming from Forbes, Microsoft and Sony surprised the gaming industry when it announced the two longtime rivals in the console space would be joining forces. It was so surprising, in fact, that even Sony's PlayStation team was caught off guard about the deal and was worried it would affect their already in motion plans. The deal between Sony working with Microsoft on next-gen cloud streaming technology and some of Sony's online services will now be hosted by Microsoft. It's a move both companies are hoping sets them up against Google, set to launch their streaming gaming service Stadia in the near future. But all of this was news to the PlayStation team, according to Bloomberg. Negotiations with Microsoft began last year and were handled directly by Sony senior management in Tokyo, largely without the involvement of the PlayStation unit. According to familiar people with the matter, staff at the gaming division were caught off guard by the news. Managers had to calm workers and assure them that the plans for the company's next generation console weren't affected, said the people asking not to be identified discussing private matters. The PlayStation unit actually thought that this deal was upended. That this deal upended the plans for their next console, but it turns out that wasn't the case. It seems odd that such a pivotal deal for the future of PlayStation gaming wouldn't be discussed with the actual PlayStation team. But apparently this means a little for the PS5, which is still on the way likely in 2020.
I mean, now when someone like one of the managers runs into the room where the PlayStation 5 blueprints are, someone's lighting it on fire. Like, guess we don't need these anymore.
Stop!
No!
It's just Ave Maria in the background. As he's just running in slow motion.
He pulls a Nero, lights it on fire, starts playing the violin. Like, where did you get that?
Don't you always carry a violin with you at all times?
Okay, yeah. So this is a big separator is it's Sony who did this, not PlayStation. So it's not really Xbox and PlayStation are teaming up. It's Microsoft selling their cloud services, which are the second largest in the world behind Google. So it makes sense that they want something that has established infrastructure.
So everyone talks about the Disney monopoly. Does no one see what Microsoft is trying to sneakily do here? Maybe teaming up with Nintendo for the Switch services.
I think it's just
cloud
Microsoft
services
shifting
to Sony. They're like, yes, bring all of your things
to us. I honestly
think
it's just Microsoft shifting into no longer just becoming a hardware maker, but becoming a platform to sell their
services.
Right,
it's
on.
Like how people were talking about how the Azure services, yeah. Being
Greg Miller drives me to no end when he mispronounces Azure.
Because it's fucking Azure.
It's Azure.
It's a shade of blue.
Right, I just thought it was pronounced Azure. Shout out to you, Tales of Asperia.
What's the
Azure Cats.
What's the pre-evolution of Meryl?
That's Azuro.
Yeah, that's spelled differently. That's spelled
right. There's an I and right. E difference.
But at the same time, in Tales of Asperia, the first move you get to use is called Azure Edge.
I work with Azure so every day.
So I know it's pronounced Azure.
Same. Anyway.
Look,
I'm yelling at you when I should be yelling at Greg Miller.
It's the GIF argument all over again.
There is a proper way to pronounce it, though.
Yeah, it's GIF.
Well, yes, we all know this.
Because you don't exchange GIFs at Christmas, do you?
No.
You don't give people peanut butter at Christmas?
I mean, only if they really like it, but that GIF is in, that GIF is in a GIF.
Azure.
There well, fuck go. Me.
That's it. Yuri Lowell's first move, Azure Edge. Yeah.
Open Miriam.
Azure.
Damn.
You want to try for a third or?
Yeah. You ready? You ready? You ready? You ready?
Lapis lazuli.
That's the third definition. You always go to the third definition.
Lapis lazuli.
Which I did.
It's the name of the androids from Dragon Ball.
That is actually true.
Yeah, you got me there.
17 is lapis, and which I used to think it was lazuli, but. Someone lied to me along my life. I don't know who hurt me, but they're out there.
Who did this to me? Anyway.
As for games, Stardew Valley was an already amazing suggestion, but my advice on this will change depending on what you're into.
That is a block of fucking text there.
Yeah. The person was like, hey, if you're looking for music again, so you listen to The Deer Hunter. As for books, you should check out Brandon Sanderson and Mistborn. Oh, and you should play Stardew Valley. I think I just met my twin.
I was going to say, did you write that article or that comment?
Oh my god, he has glasses and a beard and he's white. Definitely not me. He's also an English teacher. That's kind of scary. I broke the system. The Matrix is broken.
Did you find your mirror,
my white twin?
Your mirror world?
This is what privilege looks like.
What's it like to be me, but white?
Okay.
Pretty normal, just no subtle racism everywhere.
Wait, people don't normally ask you when you learned how to speak English? Just me?
Yeah.
Shit.
Virtually.
So continuing on gaming. I didn't hear about this. John Wick is getting a Gun Fu strategy game.
Yep.
John Wick actually looks pretty cool. It's by the guy who made Thomas Was Alone.
Oh, shit. I love that game. But it's not like it's not going to be, like, funny. It like Thomas Was Alone was.
Yeah, probably not.
It's like, oh, this it is might Thomas. Be.
You never know.
He's a block. Oh, and this is his friends. This one's good at floating.
This is John Wick. Look at him bust a cap in this man's face. You know why that he did this? Because he killed his fucking dog and stole his car. He deserves this.
So, John Wick Hex is a strategy game coming to console and PC platforms in development at Bithel Games, the creators of Volume of Subsurface Circle. Bithel and publisher Good Shepherd Entertainment described John Wick Hex as a fast-paced, action-oriented strategy game that makes you think and strike like John Wick. That was developed with the input from the film's creative and stunt teams. They say that every action John Wick Hex will have costs and consequences requiring precise strategic thinking. Similar to the gun-fu action of the films, ammo will be finite, and realistically simulated, meaning players will have to plan their reloading carefully and scavenge weapons from downed foes.
Oh, fuck, are we going to get to do gun kata?
I mean, John Wick is the evolution of gun kata.
Yeah. As seen in the JB trailer above, voice actor Lance Reddick will reprise his role as Caron, the concierge of the Continental Hotel, and actor Ian McShane will also voice his character Winston, along with other voice cast for the game later to be revealed.
The more I think about it, this reminds me a lot of how Transistor plays, where you have like a limited amount of spaces before you can, or like moves you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this sounds like a really interesting way to make John Wick into a game. Because, I mean, your first thought is
he's already in Fortnite twice.
Yeah, true. But, I mean, your first thought is like, oh, make it like Max Payne with like bullet time and stuff.
No.
I was like, no. I mean, sure. I mean, I guess if you could have that. But I think this is cool. I'm looking forward to this.
It does sound fun.
So, quick side note, because I just remembered it. Have you seen the trailer for that movie, Always Be My Maybe?
No.
It's got Randall Park and Ali Wong in it. And they're like, yeah, two childhood friends who reunite. And like, her fiance is a bag of dicks, so she dumps him. And they start getting back together and hanging out. And like, oh, it's going to be a sappy romance comedy. And out of fucking nowhere, she's like, yeah, I met someone. And it's Keanu Reeves.
Oh my God.
It's like, yeah, it's like we just met and we had this awesome sex. And like okay, weird twist. And then as they're at the hibachi restaurant, Keanu Reeves just walks in like, I'm sold. I don't know what the fuck the rest of this plot is. I love Keanu but Reeves. You just threw a twist of Keanu Reeves saying he loves her thumbs. It's like, I need to know where this ends.
I want it to be a film where it's like, you know, Ali Wong and the other guy are just having a normal story. And Keanu Reeves is like still like just action star Keanu Reeves in the background. Like, will you excuse me? And he goes like to a different
house. See, like snapping someone's neck in the background.
He's going to a different table at the hibachi grill, picks up the knife, starts cutting something, and then just throws the knife into someone's chest. Like, I just want that film. And the guy's like, he's an assassin. He's a murderer. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he's just shooting hardwood, missing everything. He's like, what happened?
Yeah, just like, they're at the restaurant. You hear a group of Russian guys coming, like, I'll be right back. Like, oh no, it's John Wick. It's like, what I miss?
I need to watch.
He seems like a really nice guy. He has sushi.
Yeah.
I need to watch John Wick.
I'm pretty sure I've seen the second one, but I can't remember anything about the second one. And everyone's saying the third one is like the cherry on top, being there's like the best action franchise in years.
Isn't it? Then the fourth one's already confirmed for 2021.
I thought this was supposed to be the last chapter.
That's what I thought too. Apparently it did so well. They're like, nope, we're going to keep it out
completely yet.
Yeah, it is. Came out last week, I think.
Oh. Have you guys seen like Keanu Reeves is like slowly regressing? Like, John Wick's done. He's doing Bill and Ted. Or he finished rapping Bill and Ted. He mentioned in an interview where he said, "Is like, I want to revisit The Matrix." And then in another interview recently, he's like, yeah, I would love to go back and play Constantine. Like, do a real Constantine movie.
Don't you fucking tease
me, Reeves.
And
I'm just sitting there and I'm like,
please.
Is he just going back and remaking all of his movies now? Is he pulling Vin Diesel?
Said, I remember the time, like, after The Matrix Trilogy wraps, and everyone was like, what the fuck, Keanu Reeves, God, why is he in this movie? And I was like, oh, fuck, Keanu Reeves is in this movie.
Dude, Hardball? Where they play baseball?
That movie made me cry.
That was a great movie. That was a sad sandwich.
When they shot the little kid.
Yeah.
What?
Well, no, it's a serious drama.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it's like a serious drama where Keanu Reeves is teaching kids in like the inner city to play baseball. And there's like a little, like one of the kids on the team, his little brother, who's like the most lovable character. Like, yeah, we love this kid. Then a gang rolls up and shoots him. And it's like, why?
Fuck?
Shoot another kid on the team. Don't shoot the little one.
What the fuck?
Like, if you're going to kill someone, don't kill the adorable little lovable one. Look, they were going to kill someone no matter what. Why did it have to be the adorable one?
You know, not going to lie, I saw that movie and you got served at various similar times. So I can't remember. Like, I know there's a big difference, but I can't remember.
The gang rolls up and they start doing a cheer competition.
Well, they also kill a kid in that one. And then it's like, we're going to rename our team to like honor the dead kid. Yeah. And it's just like, were they called the Saints and you got served? Or was it like,
oh my God.
Anyways, I would love for him to actually revisit The Matrix this far removed. Like,
it's going to have to be someone else.
Reload and Revelations weren't
so bad.
You're
going to have to separate the Wachowskis from it.
Yeah, they don't want to do it.
They shouldn't do it.
Give it to the, not the Coen brothers.
The Russos?
Yeah, give it to the Russos. Just, they proved themselves.
I don't
find another sibling.
That'd be very interesting.
What other Community reference are they going to make in The Matrix? Is the Community actually a glitch in the Matrix?
Oh, God. They're just jumping through all the different realities in the Matrix, and they wind up in the study room and Community. Like, what the fuck is this?
Like, I think we're ready for a new Matrix film.
Now, would it be, like, a reboot, or...
I want a continuation.
Oh, see, and they even have the title already wrapped up. Matrix Reboot. They don't even have to sugarcoat the fact that it's a reboot. Yeah. They could just go fucking computer terms.
Matrix redone. Matrix reanimated.
Matrix reset.
Didn't they already? No, Animatrix is what I'm thinking
Animatrix.
Of.
Matrix, that other search for Neo.
The search for the real Neo.
See, again, it's like the search for Neo. They play out that story, and at the end, it's like, you know, The Force Awakens, where, you know, Neo's just standing on a digital beach somewhere, and then whatever protagonist is holding a gun to him or glasses.
But how much Jesus symmetry will they stuff into it?
All of it.
All of it?
Yeah, you don't remember the rave in the actual Bible when they're all just dancing?
I was going to say, yeah.
All the glow sticks.
And yay, Michael said upon thee, let's get crunk, y'all.
DJ, and ecstasy, drop that fat beat.
And ecstasy flew from the ceiling, and everyone got, like, super lit and started grinding on each other. And people were topless for some reason. But then the machines attacked. Proverbs 7:13. That's my Bible right there.
Speaking of Bibles, Rainbow Six Siege Operation Phantom Sight DLC is officially revealed.
I was going to say, like, try and fit that into Bible, but now just Siege is your religion.
Yeah. Operation Phantom Sight is the second half of season of year 4's content, which is revealed during the Pro League finals in Milan. Operation Phantom Sight includes Nock. I knew it's Nuke.
Nook.
I thought they said Nock on the trailer.
They said it was Nook, like a breakfast.
Like
Nook.
The Barnes & Noble Eerie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Nook.
I need to find my Nook charger.
It's because of it's that weird O.
It's the one with the
I think it's like an umlaut, almost.
The umlaut, not the umlaut. The,
kind of. The Danish umlaut. Yeah, I don't know what you call that thing.
Nook is an attacker armed with a FMG-9 and a 612SD who uses their high-tech HEL presence reduction or the HEL presence reduction gadget to navigate behind enemy lines, invisible cameras, and drones. She's basically the attack version of Vigil.
Diggle.
And then OPS also introduces a new defender, Warden, who uses glance smart glasses to enhance his vision to give him better visibility in smoke and immunity to flashes while remaining still. So it's kind of like Glass in that sense. He uses the M590A1 and the MPX to make him powerful anchor and entry denier. Steve, anchor! Because we don't let you play anything else.
No, it's not that you don't let me play anything else.
But I play a roamer, you play a roamer, Brandon just wanders off.
I was going to say, it's like, all right, round start. All right, I got my stuff placed. Where's everyone? Oh my god.
Why is the roof? Why is everyone off the objective?
Say, like, all right, objective is on the second floor. He's on the roof. He's in the basement. He's at the front door. Well,
why is Frost already dead?
Zach and I are always playing our roles. We're supposed to be doing that.
There's roaming, and then there's being on the next map over.
Well, there's the thing that I do, where it's like, all right, they're coming from this door. All right, I'm going in for the long game. And I go the opposite end of the map up.
It's like, all right, they're coming in the back door. All right, long game. Bust out the front door, let me just walk all the way around.
Meanwhile, I'm the uber-aggressive one, where it's like, all right, let's throw a camera outside. Are they there? Rush!
Well, and then it's like,
jump out the window.
Well, I'm going for the long play. Everyone's dead. Shit. Turn around, start heading back.
That's why I don't like secure area. It fucks me so many times. Like, oh god, I'm on the opposite side because everybody else died.
Yeah.
I could play a roamer, but then there would be literally no one on the objective.
So, Operation Phantom Sight also includes a major rework of Cafe, the Moscow map, which includes a redesigned first floor, new bomb sites on the second floor, and other updates aimed to improve replayability and gameplay opportunities, also to make the map more competitive. Other features will be introduced in the season, such as reverse friendly fire, a reworked ranked playlist, so maybe it won't be in beta anymore.
This is the changes. It's no longer in beta. It's all the road to SI changes finally getting implemented.
And there's going to be a new in-game storefront. The test server for OPS goes live on May 21st, and this test first server is exclusive to PC players. OPS is included as part of the Year 4 Pass, available on PC, PS4, and Xbox. So one of my students and I, we talk about Siege literally every day, and I told him I haven't played a freaking game in a month, and he makes fun of me. Stupid sixth graders. But he was telling me, it's like, yeah, what do you think about all of these? Too?
We're playing this weekend, right?
Think about it. I'm playing this weekend.
Oh, thank God.
My grades are due on Thursday, so I actually have free time now. Not really.
And it's a three-day weekend.
Yeah.
Four-day for me.
Well, we'll teach you.
So we've been talking about it, and it's like, yeah, dude, this is new. He's like, yeah, it's like, I just don't know which character to buy first. I'm like, yeah, I don't know which character my roommates are going to play, so I'm going to probably play Legion still.
I mean, you already know I'm playing Nook.
Yeah.
You know I'm going to play Fancy Secret Service.
Yeah.
I'm going to beat America.
Finally, I will play Gridlock and Mozzie. I'm just an update behind everyone. I remember I was the first person to play Nomad, and then Brandon picked her. I'm like, well, I guess I'll go back to my regulars. But you know the best part about this update is? Legion Elite Skin. Here we go.
Fucking cyber ninja.
Dude, I'm freaking Raiden from Revengeance. Is that the one where he became full cyborg?
Yeah, Rising Revengeance.
Well, technically, he was full cyborg in...
Two?
Four. Two, he was just like a ninja. Four, he was in his full mecha suit, destroying the two-legged Metal Gears that had weird, like, organic legs and mood for some reason. Metal Gear's weird.
Kojima!
When is it not weird?
That's the point of it. It's supposed to be weird.
I mean, the first Metal Gear wasn't that weird.
It started getting weird in the second one, where it's like, yes, this character, or this boss has mind control. You have to unplug your controller into the second slot.
Was it three that they revealed Big Boss was actually like your clone? Or
I think it's
you were the clone of Big Boss.
Three,
because three was the
or was it Peace Walker? It was Peace Walker, wasn't it? That they kind of started doing that.
I think they alluded to it, but three was like the since that was like the full prequel of Big Boss as.
See, the point I lost track of the Metal Gear timeline was like, all right, that's Poison Snake. This one's Naked Snake. I'm like, oh wait, there's more than one snake. Yes. I'm out.
Yeah, Poison Snake, and then you go into other animals like Revolver Ocelot, and there's multiple incarnations of Ocelot, and
then there's Quiet, and she like wears skimpy clothing because she feeds on sunlight she has chlorophyll. She breathes
through her skin.
Jesus Christ,
it's weird.
Like she doesn't breathe normally. She absorbs oxygen through her skin.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Metal Gear 5 is weird.
And it'll never be finished.
Nope. It's an unfinished story, but a completed game.
They fucked over Kojima.
Just wait, Death Stranding's secretly a Metal Gear game. Just this entire time.
It's gonna be like... No, they're not Metal Gears. They're Gears of Metal.
Yes, they are Walker pieces. What? Solid Snake? No, this is transparent.
This is duck. Liquid.
No, Liquid Snake's a snake.
No, I was just gonna say liquid. What's a fuck? What's a something
gecko?
Yeah, liquid gecko. Some other reptile similar to a snake.
Did you guys see that there's a new Mortal Kombat movie coming out?
Yes, I did hear that from James Wan.
Yeah, well, he's producing. He's not directing. Wow. Because, you know, he just does all of his horror films. But it's just like, is this our moment? Are we going to get two good video game movies?
Dude, you know, first day I'm going to be sitting in the theater, and as soon as they start playing the theme, I'm going to scream Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat!
Did you, Steve, I really think you should listen to How Did This Get Made for Mortal Kombat, because two of the three people on that show were like, I had no idea this was a video game.
What? What?
How? It caused... It's what made the ESRB.
Well, no, Paul Scheer and Jason Manzoukas were like, yeah, we knew that, but like the two ladies on the episode were like, I had no idea.
It literally created a panic. And, Hillary Clinton helped make the ESRB because of it.
Well, it was really funny because it's like, yeah, certain parts of the film, it was like, it sounded as if like someone like ADR'd everything in. It's like, well, yes. And it's like... Well, what about that theme song? It's like a rave. And then Jason Manzoukas is like, yo, if you don't get fucking hyped listening to that. Saying,
if you're not like jamming at the first like, dun, 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 and then know when to scream Mortal Kombat, you're not living life. Because even if, originally that song wasn't the Mortal Kombat theme.
Oh no, it was just like a rave.
It was just like a techno song that they took and be like,
We like
this. Like, all right, we like this.
Scorpion.
Mortal Kombat.
Liu Kang.
Sub-Zero.
Shao Kahn.
No, Shao Kahn.
Oh, no. That, yeah, he's the second game.
Yeah, Shao
Kahn. Kano.
Liu Kang. Sonya Blade.
Goro.
Mortal Kombat!
Test your might.
Again, How This Got Made. It's an amazing show. I was listening to their thing on a Hurricane Heist. And Zach's like, are you still listening to Geostorm? I'm like, it's the same movie. They made the same joke. And then the end of the episode, they're like,
I recommend you go watch Geostorm.
You say Geo. That's just great. I love that. I love How Did This Get Made so much. I'm listening to the Seth Rogen episode now for Van Helsing.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. I love
I'm dude, just going through their backlog.
The Hugh Jackman Van Helsing is fucking amazing.
And only gets better because of How Did This Get
Made. Yeah, there's so many things that are like, what?
It's like I started rewatching the first Hellboy movie, and I'm like, this movie was fucking awesome. Fuck whoever canceled this series.
Legendary. Okay. Last thing we actually have to talk about. I can't wait for Siege. I just. That has to be good.
You have to get your grading done.
Yeah.
Before you can play Siege.
The biggest next thing in comics is Leviathan, or the Leviathan event, is brand new from Brian Michael Bendis and his longtime partner from Marvel, and it's a 6-issue limited mystery thriller series that is about stuff and things. Like, they had the...
Stuff and things.
Sorry, I just spaced. But they had the...
Well, what about things and stuff?
They had the preview issue in, Alex Maleev, that's the artist he's working with. But they had the preview issue in this Year of the Villain story that came out for free... Not Free Comic Book Day. Free Comic Book Day?
Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
Free Comic Book Day. Free Comic Day.
Sorry. I wasn't there, so it's just like, when did I get this? So they did the issue, and it's like, you know, this big bad trying to recruit other people to his cause, and it's up to like DC's greatest detectives to go help them, help out.
Batman.
It's great because one of the cool things Bendis has been doing is he's slowly building up all of this in his Action Comics run, where like everything that he's been doing has been leading up to this moment, and he's been slowly reintroducing all these characters that are important to the main event. So the world is to be changed. You have fought so hard and achieved so little. You have tried everything. The world needs us to do better. Event Leviathan, 6-issue mystery thriller. Brian Michael Bendis, Alex Maleev. Join Leviathan in June. And there are various characters. So one of DC's greatest detectives. We got Batman. Your war on crime accomplishes nothing. I've tried it your way. The revolving door of criminals always comes back. There is a better way, my way. Then it goes over to Green Arrow. You think you could save the world with your bleeding heart. I hope you can see the truth in what we are doing and how we are the same. Then we got Plastic Man. Fuck yeah. You and I were born into a broken world and almost killed us. We both figured out that we needed to start over before this world rolled over us. Step towards me with
somebody
an open mind.
Somebody wants to
tell me. Then we got Batgirl. Barbara, you've given everything for what you think is right. You sacrificed your legs, and nothing has changed. Don't you think there's a better way? Join my new world order. Someone says that, it's just like, you're a bad guy. Lois Lane is on the list of top detectives, which I find amazing. Your mission is to discover the truth, but you can't see the lies in front of you. The heroes can't save us all, Lois. It's up to me to fix this broken world. Then we got the question, why has Cobra, Argus, the DEO, and Spiral been taken out? What will take their place? Who's behind it all? Are those the questions you are asking yourself? And then we have the return of Kate Spencer, aka Manhunter. Kate Spencer, you now carry the legacy. It's a heavy burden to bear. A woman will not fare any better than a man. Your hunt is destined to fail. So I'm hyped for this. Like, Bendis has consistently been killing it on Superman. His Naomi series has been great. I'm kind of not bummed. There's only 2 issues left for season 1, quote unquote. They said they're going to take the Image approach and like do breaks in between. Yeah. But like,
dude,
bringing him over has been one of the coolest things. It almost makes me forgive DC for losing Charles Soule.
I mean, they lost Charles Soule a while ago at this point.
It's only like 2013 or 12.
6 to 7 years then.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, it's kind of cool seeing him come over and experiment with DC. Like, you know, he's done so much for Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hit or miss stuff, like his Guardians of the Galaxy run wasn't that great. But like, you know, House of M was really cool. His Avengers was great. His X-Men was kind of mediocre. But like, there's a lot of great stuff he does. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah. You reminded me that like every month of this year, we inch closer to the return of Saga.
Are we?
Yeah, they said they're coming. They're only taking a year off. I think it's supposed to come back in sometime in the fall. Man. That's something they've
put in. Are you gonna like shit your pants when the solicits come out and you just see Saga?
I mean, I'm just curious of like, what? All right, so that's where we left off a year ago. What the fuck, man?
It's, are you at a point where you could just like read one or two issues a week and then be caught up for when it comes out again? Because it ended at 50, didn't it?
Yeah.
Or 52?
Something like that. I think it was 50.
Okay. It's pretty high.
I could if I wanted to, but I remember pretty much... I remember most of it.
I just remember reading that last issue. I'm like, the
fuck? Oh, boy.
So what are we going to do now?
Kind of get... Is Saga going to be the Game of Thrones of comics?
Where it's all the subversions? And
you or know, is it like there's always these like major milestones in it?
And then it immediately goes on break.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you mean?
Why would you do this?
Why would you do that?
Have we heard anything about Black Monday murders?
Eventually.
Didn't it like, it came back on solicits and then it got taken off again?
Yeah. Did you hear the really cool thing? Mm-hmm. Todd McFarlane and Greg Capullo to draw Historic Spawn issue 300. Huh. So that's going to be really neat.
Isn't that a throwback for Capullo since he started on Spawn? Yep.
Did you hear the bullshit thing that Marvel's doing though?
What are they doing now?
So you know how Marvel's gonna do issue 1000? Just
yes.
Randomly.
Yeah.
Guess what comes after?
Number ones.
Marvel Comics 1001. Like, again, the only reason I'm saying it's bullshit is because first, Marvel's like, let's do legacy numbering. So if we combine this title, this title, this title, and this title, we'll get to the hundreds. Oh, by the way, if we combine all of these titles, we get to 700. Like, it kind of ruins the concept of the legacy numbers. Like, yeah. Detective 1000 and Action 1000 got it.
They meant something.
Because they made it to 1,000 issues. Granted, they weren't all in one volume, but they still actually made that number. And it's like, well, you see, our Indestructible Hulk or our Immortal Hulk is also combining our Incredible Hulk runs and then this Hulk run. And then the Spider-Man series is going to use Avenging Spider-Man, all these other web of Spider-Man. So why? Why, Marvel?
Why do you do this?
So a lot more people are upset. And it's just like, someone's like,
it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. And people are like, well, no one got upset when DC did their 1 million issues. Yeah, because it took place in the year 1 million, and that's why they're called 1 million. I don't know. I was kind of annoyed. That's why I said it's a bullshit thing for Marvel. They're robbing DC of their legacy.
Like, oh, you heard to sell 1,000? Well, we'll just put 1,000 on a book. Suck it.
You remember the last episode where you're like, yeah, Spider-Man's on issue 25 or 764 or issue 20.hu. What? Yeah, it's real. Here, look.
So dumb.
I wish my numbers had letters in them and feel like algebra again. Do you think X is used more in math problems than in the actual like English language?
Probably.
Okay. That's all. I'm just wondering.
Okay.
It's been one of those days, man. I stayed up too late because we watched Game of Thrones!
Womp, 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 womp.
So, the season finale happened last night. If
series finale.
Season series.
Psh. Both.
Spoilers, we're going to talk about them and just our general thoughts for the last two episodes. And we're going to start them in 3. I'm going to tell you who dies in 2. And in 1, the big spoiler is that Daenerys died.
Aaron Rodgers died.
Aaron Rodgers also died. Ed Sheeran survived, though.
Yeah, just got his face burnt off.
Is that confirmed now or something?
Well, his eyelids got burnt off.
Yeah.
And his eyebrows did, too. It was when Bron was about to go at it with the 3 prostitutes. They were talking about Eddie.
Huh. Okay. Okay, yeah. I was going to say,
let's start off.
I thought you were going to pick it up for her. I mean...
They already know my feelings about it.
I don't know if it's any surprise that it's like, this has been a disappointing season, but the way it ended was probably the best they could have done with the way everything was going.
I won't say it was a great ending or a fantastic ending. It was a satisfying ending.
It was okay with what they had, I think.
I'm satisfied. Like there are other shows where I hate the ending. How I Met Your Mother. Dexter. Fuck the ending of Dexter.
But he's alive. He's just a lumberjack now.
Fuck the ending of Dexter.
Him and Jon Snow are out cutting trees in the great wilderness.
Fuck the ending of Dexter. Fuck the ending. I don't even consider it the ending of How I Met Your Mother. That was a steaming pile of garbage.
I was just like, what?
I didn't really watch Lost, but the few episodes I did watch, the ending wasn't great.
I feel like Breaking Bad's the only one that a majority of people were pretty happy with.
Again, Breaking Bad was that one was one of the few perfect endings. Like, that's the only way it could have properly ended.
Well, didn't Dexter also change showrunners at the end?
I think so.
So, here's the thing that I was talking about with my principal this morning, because we were outside standing in the rain, letting kids into the building. And we were talking, it's like, well, you know, the biggest thing that I think, it got the treatment of Lost. Where there's a giant subversion of what fans wanted from the show and what was actually given to us. And I kind of, Steve and I kind of touched base, and it's like, I feel like we got a Cliff Notes version of the ending. Like, this was George R. R. Martin's true ending, but the showrunners weren't exactly sure how to get to certain things. And again, it's a subversion. And my biggest thing, I'm looking at this entire series and show as kind of like, the best way I've thought about it is like nature versus nurture. Certain characters were nurtured in the role. Like Daenerys, by the end of the series, became her own zealot, and she was nurtured into that by all the Targaryen stories, all of her things. But there's also the nature of it all, where these characters kind of almost regressed back to where they were in season one. Like, again, I'm not happy with a lot of the character development. I don't like where Jaime ended up, because I felt his character was getting somewhere different. And then it subverted my expectations. I understand.
Well, but see, you even have to go past just this season and the season before. It's always been a recurring trend that Jaime was always going to go back to Cersei.
And he even said in this last thing with Brienne, it's like, I never really care for the common people. And I always did it for Cersei. Cersei's the only thing. And I'm just like, damn it, dude. And it's like, almost the message that I kind of got from this was like, are we just doomed to repeat our very nature? Like, again, I understand a lot of people are like, well, Daenerys wasn't really the Mad Queen. And it's like, well, yeah. And, you know, if I feel as though if this season were spread out into two seasons, I felt a little bit better. Like, if we just had a longer time to sit on certain instances. And again, it's the whole, like, there were certain characters that had certain actions that I felt like didn't really belong to them. Like, Jon the entire time was like, fucking ice zombies. And then Arya kills the Night King. That would be like Sam pulling out a Glock, shooting Daenerys. And it's like, they had no interaction with each other. There's nothing to do with those two characters.
It's a cool moment, but yeah, it's like, okay, so Red Woman shows up and it's like, oh, no, you're the one who's going to do it.
Well, but okay. That's always been the thing of that prophecy of... They've never been sure on who the true hero was. Like, it started off like the Red Woman thought Stannis was the hero. Then it went to Jon, and then it went to Arya. It's like, their god was never straightforward of like, nah, this homie right here, she's the real deal.
And that, yeah, I guess.
It would be as almost if Neville Longbottom was actually secretly the boy who lived the entire time, and then he got ganked by Voldemort. I was about to say Dumbledore.
But at the same time, Neville was one of the boys who lived, and he was the main reason that Harry was able to kill Voldemort, because he was the one who slayed Nagini.
Yeah. I don't know. There's, from a literary standpoint, again, like, I think Zach and I had this conversation in the car where it's like, man, Game of Thrones slowly became the fairy tale it always promised it never was. But where all these big main characters did survive, and then they died in the fashion, but we didn't want them to die in a certain way. Like, even Battle of King's Landing, a lot of people are like, man, I just can't believe Jon's men did that.
I mean,
they like went around, raped, murdered, and pillaged. It's like, yeah, but that's the whole thing. Like,
I feel like they condensed so many major events into six episodes. It's like, oh, we extended the episode. Like, that didn't really help. Like, there was still way too much happening that they had to just get to the end. And by the end, I was like, this is just, okay, yeah, I guess this is the best way we can wrap up everything with where we're at right now.
There's a lot of moments in time that I'm just like, how long has it been? Like, from Battle of Winterfell to Battle of King's Landing, how much time
realistically passed? 3 weeks.
And then, you know, we made the jokes like, cannot fast travel in the presence of the enemies. And it's just like, ooh, this isn't good. Like, even it would have been cool to actually kind of see some major fallout. Because if you think about it, it's like, oh, Jon killed Daenerys. No one else would know that. How did people figure out Jon killed Daenerys? Jon goes downstairs, tells Grey Worm, hey, Daenerys died.
Well, yeah, that's not like Jon could have been like, oh, no, Daenerys died. It's so weird. Don't know who did it. But that's not Jon.
Yeah.
Like Jon Snow would do the honorable thing
in all of winter.
And he also gets the short end of the stick every fucking time. But at the same time.
But that's the Starks. The Starks get fucked over anytime they go south.
Stark men die in the south. It's been interesting just to see how the entire show ended. Like,
yeah, I mean, we can't deny its legacy of like, it brought fantasy to a major audience.
It passed
Lord of the Rings.
It didn't just bring fantasy. It brought a new version of fantasy. Because you look at fantasy, you think of more like Lord of the Rings and like all of that with magic and giant flying eagles and all of that, where Game of Thrones, outside of the dragons and the Night Army, magic didn't rule this world.
They had giants.
They had giants past the wall.
Yeah.
Anything in the main kingdom was all human-based.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were complaining about, like 40 seconds of Tyrion fixing the chairs and, this boring talk of rebuilding the city. Like, that's perfect. Everything in this show has been fueled by plans and schemes and vengeance and personal vendettas, but now you're getting actual mundane, like, we're ruling the city the way it should be ruled.
I'm not gonna lie. I thought it was kind of weird that they just let the Dothraki chill in King's End. It's like, oh yeah, you slaughtered us. I guess this is fine.
Or they like, also love the Grey Worm. Like, they were on the docks at that point.
I don't know. It seemed like they were just kind of like set up shop there.
Oh, you got apples? Oh, cool. Just undulating.
Buy one, get one free.
Like,
it's like, fuck, here come the shriekers.
Again, it's the subversion of a lot of these things that I feel kind of caught people off base. Like, again, it's Lost effect where everyone, the entirety of the internet was backed behind this thing. And of course, not everyone's fantasy could be fulfilled.
Well, and again, even if you just look at like passages before even the finale, there was never going to be a way to please everyone. Just by looking at people's comments between the Battle of Winterfell and like Battle of the Bastards and all of that, of like, no, they're going to kill all these characters. And then the characters actually die, like, I want them to die more gruesomely. Like, again, I wanted them to die this way. It's like, you were never going to be happy unless they fulfilled your exact notion.
Yeah, and that's what I was talking about. It's like that moment of like pure bloodlust and kind of craze during the Battle of King's Landing where Grey Worm just goes off handle and then all of the men all go crazy. And it's just like, man, I can't believe they did that. I'm like, yo, you were just calling for Cersei's head on a pipe.
I was gonna say, like
5 minutes ago.
I was going to say, it's like, before this episode started, like, I want Cersei to fucking die. Like, I want them to get stabbed through the heart. Like, whoa. These guys were killing people. That's not cool, bro. It's like, well, and I also saw things of like Jon's men wouldn't do that. They're loyal to him. Like, no, the lords are loyal to him. Do you think every Jon Smith in that army is going to be loyal to this random dude? No, they're fighting because their lord told them to. If they just got a free pass to be murderous and a terrible person, they're going to fucking take it. Like, this has been a world that has shown people are terrible. If they're given the chance, they're going to be terrible.
Right? Like, there's... It's interesting, and I think the biggest thing was that I felt like I was annoyed that I didn't care enough about what happened to all the characters. Again, I feel Tyrion probably was in the best place for his character. He's George R. R. Martin's favorite character, and there's the secret rumors that he was never allowed to die because he's Martin's favorite character. And we made jokes about, like, oh man, Samuel Tarly inventing democracy and just being laughed at. That kind
of
sucks.
I think your thing was just like, I'm going to walk out if Bran becomes the fucking new king. And then, sure enough, that's what they do.
It's just like...
But at the same time, he is the most logical choice. Like, people are trying to dig at his statement of, like, Bran, you're going to be the Lord of Winterfell. It's like, well, I don't want for anything anymore. It's like, he's the perfect person to be king because... He doesn't want for anything.
He has no emotions. He's perfect.
He's not going to rule based on emotion and vengeance and, like, I want to rule all the land. It's like, no, he's going to rule like a piece of cardboard. Like, he's not going to have emotions one way or the other.
The bandits are coming. Your daughter looked beautiful the day she died.
They're burning everything. Chaos is a ladder. What does that have to do with anything?
Did you see my sick chair? 100, 100, 100.
Watch me do a wheelie.
But it's like he was the perfect choice to be king because he would rule fairly.
And I feel, again, like everyone was so ready. It's like, oh man, there could be a democracy. All the seven kingdoms are going to rule together.
That was my crackpot theory.
They literally laughed in your face.
They did.
Like, that's a big middle finger from the writers, I feel like. They're like, nah, man, that would never happen.
I do love everyone's reaction of like, yeah, he's the new king. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The North will remain separate. That was an option.
Sansa, that's your brother. Like, the Starks rule everything. Yo, the North's still going to be by themselves, yo.
Also, fucking low blow from Sansa, pretty much telling the whole world, yo, his dick don't work. Like, Bran will be king. He can't have children. Like... Sure, why don't you just get
perfect. Blown away? Perfect, we'll elect someone else.
His dick don't work!
And now that's the moment of like, that's not actually Bran. Like, Bran and Stark's dead. That's literally the three-eyed raven.
Well, and again, everyone was harping on the line of like, who has a better story than Bran Stark? I didn't take that as Bran had the most mystical, magical adventure. He had a decent adventure. He's the only true Stark, quote-unquote, that went beyond the wall and came back. But I took it more as, nah, this dude's literally got every story ever told in his dome piece. Like,
they explained that already. Of like, he's the keeper of history.
Right, but everyone seems to ignore that part of the speech and focus solely on who has a better story than Bran Stark, because his story is literally the story of everything.
Yeah.
At this point now.
And, you know, I'm kind of mad. I'm kind of mad that the... long-awaited follow-up to this is going to be a prequel series about the Targaryens and not about Pirate Queen Arya.
I mean, she's sailing for the Grand Line to find One Piece, let's be real.
Like, Pirate Queen Arya, like, I'm just like, she's Columbus. I'm like,
I'm also curious, I'm like, so wait, she's going to have to sail south around everything, right? Because the way she was going, I'm like, wait, from King's Landing, she's sailing east right now. Or whatever, like, the coastline was on the east.
Well, I would have to look at a map.
We don't know where she actually sailed out from, because we kind of got a short time skip.
And I'm kind of mad about that. Like, again, I would have loved to be like, give me, like, Avenger-level timelines. Like, get a Kevin Feige to work for you. It's like, how long was Tyrion in that kitchen? How long was Jon locked up that it became spring? Oh, how long was this time skip?
That is one thing that bugs me. Of, they made such a big deal of like, yes, the winter's coming. It's going to be the longest winter. People are going to die. We don't have the supplies. Winter lasted for like 5 minutes.
Allegedly.
Was that because the Night King was just gone?
I don't know.
Was he the one who controlled the severity of winter?
I'll say, like, that would be a good explanation of like, yeah, no, the reason there were these long winters was because of the Night King. Like, these long winters came down from beyond the wall. But... they never, like, again, they just like, yeah, it's winter. It's a big deal. Everyone's going to die. Yeah, it's spring now.
I feel as though, again, like, a lot of people are like, man, Game of Thrones ended at Battle of Winterfell. If they flipped everything, if they did the Battle of King's Landing, did all that shit, so Daenerys still had two dragons, Night King ganks one of them at that battle, she has one dragon left, and then they do the Battle of Winterfell, the ending, have Jon still kill her and everything, would people's expectations have been better?
No, because I think the way they set up the timeline is actually better. Because one of the driving forces that kind of move things like, all right, no, we're going after Cersei now, is she broke her promise of not sending her army. Like, that was them going for the immediate attack, and their forces kind of being fucked up for it, was because Cersei didn't follow through with her promise. If they're like, yeah, we're going to do this deal. You promise? Promise. Cool, we're going to attack you now.
But how great would it have been, like, you know, they finished Cersei off, Jaime killed her, everyone's kind of like, have breath. And then the Night King just marches on King's Landing, and it's just like, all right. Because again, I always feel like the books themselves are the politics of Game of Thrones. Like, everyone really cares about the Iron Throne, everyone cares about the interactions between all the characters. Whereas the show made such a big deal about the Night King. The Night King's not in the books. They have the Night's King, who's a different character, but
he's in the books. He's just,
he's more of a,
he's alluded to more than, because
he's more like a deity rather than like an actual physical being.
Well, and right? But that's what the show has more over the books, is they can physically show the embodiment of the Night King, where instead of just alluding to him and talking about him,
I mean, in the books, they can actually focus more on Lady Stoneheart's like storyline.
Really? No, Lady Stoneheart is until the end of book 5.
Oh,
yeah,
and even that ends on a cliffhanger because it's supposed to be followed up in book 6.
She kills Brienne, allegedly.
Allegedly,
like
Brienne's not dead though.
There's a lot of things, like I said, like the book and the show are so vastly different, and I think a lot. The Free Folk subreddit is my favorite thing, is because there's just shit posting, and it's like, well, at least Lord of the Rings was good. Like, they became a Lord of the Rings subreddit after this last episode.
It's like, I think people in the end set their expectations way too high, and for good reason. They had all the,
I mean, they kind of got, we kind of got built up on it. Right. Like, yeah. But look at this. This is the biggest thing ever. But at the same time,
there's people overreacting on Twitter, to where I saw one tweet that started off with, I will never forgive the writers for what they did to the show. That's a little overdramatic.
More than anything, it just kind of showed me that I don't know if I want to watch their Star Wars series, of like, if this is what happens when they don't have a source material to kind of go off of.
I don't even think it's the source material. It's,
well,
granted, they shortened their own timeline.
That doesn't help.
Well, HBO offered them 8 episodes. They said they could wrap it up in 6. So they kind of shot themselves in the foot there. I think they bit off more than they could chew.
And then the Disney
timeline didn't help.
Sure, but then you start looking at, like, all right, when did they start going away from the books? That's when everything...
Season 5.
That was like, all right, things are starting to get a little weird. They're doing things that are like, eh,
but at the same time, some of the best episodes happened after they ran out of source material. There were still
beautiful things in there, like Battle of the Bastards is still one of my favorite episodes, of just the way it was shot. But it just seems like, it's like, I don't know what, how are you gonna, it just seems like it's gonna be so, even like the further like we went along, the more and more trope we got. Like, I got a little annoyed when they started doing the Lord of the Rings fade in, fade out for all the endings. Just like, all right, they only did 3, but they still kept doing the fade in, fade out here. Like, you're kind of just pulling from fantasy tropes at this point. It's like, I don't know if you're going to be able to get away from that.
Yeah, how can you not do fantasy tropes when you're looking at the progenitor of it all? It's like, man, alien film is really tropey because it invents it all.
I was going to say, I made the point earlier of there is no fantasy series ever in the history of ever from now on that will not be compared to Lord of the Rings. Because they essentially set the tropes forever.
Sure, but you can use those tropes and do something with them instead of just following them.
Well, that's it. I'm not going to damn a whole series.
I'm not damning the whole series, but
well, you're not, but a lot of people are.
I'm sure,
like,
but
you're like, I'm never gonna watch their Star Wars thing because they suck. Like,
I'm never gonna watch
their Star Wars thing because it's on a Disney subscription.
I mean, mostly I just kind of lost confidence that it's gonna be something I want to watch. That's more of like the stance I'm taking of like, you know, I don't know about this now.
You want to watch Brightburn with us?
I don't know about that.
Again, like I said, I have full faith in them because, again, I liked the season. It wasn't perfect. They could use a couple more episodes. But overall, I like the season. They brought a lot of points to light. Yes, they did it quickly, but at the same time, they brought a lot of things to a close.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Yeah, again, they closed out things that I think the best way they could have with where they like got everything to. Like, the lead up to it, I think, could have been executed far better. But yeah, I mean, the ending, yeah, it was okay. It was an ending. Like, we concluded everything. There was nothing left like really in question. Like, they touched on all the characters that you cared about.
Well, see, there is one question they never touched on. How the fuck is all of Westeros that ADA compliant?
Yeah, that's true. We'll never know.
I guess we'll never know
what happened to Drogon. You've like, seen piece the fuck out.
You've seen the pure amount of stairs that Cersei climbed down. Did they just turn that into one giant ramp? Like,
well, think about it. They also have Podrick, the fucking tank, calling him around.
Right, but how did he get to King's Landing in the first place? Podrick was already there. He wasn't a knight at the time. I don't think he went to Winterfell and be like, "All right, let's go, Bran," and just like rushed him across the countryside. Tell me they suddenly made transportation that was wheelchair compliant and then made all of King's Landing wheelchair compliant.
Do you find it ironic that the whole, like, one of the mottos is like, we'll break the wheel, and then we literally put a man in wheels in charge?
Well, he's called the Broken because they said they're breaking the wheel.
Fair
point. And typically,
if they were going off, he breaks the wheel, he would be Bran the Breaker. No, he's Bran the Broken. Like, dude.
You cool with that, man?
Like, I'll just be King Bran.
Typically, they don't name the kings until after they die.
No, they give them... They have, like, titles.
Yeah, they do.
But at the same time, it's... One, usually the title is much longer.
So, to just wrap things up, one of my favorite things that I saw, and I'm waiting for... Like, again, if you're unhappy... Read fan fiction, write fan fiction, create your own episode HBO subseries.
You have the internet to write whatever fantasy ending you want. Don't sign a petition to redo the series. And don't say that the writers are terrible because you didn't like the direction that they took some of the characters. Yeah.
So speaking of subversion, 10,000 years ago, they built a wall to hide something. They imprisoned it within a tree and put a king to guard it. Now it escaped in someone else's shape. So it's like, oh, the Night King's the good guy, and then Bran's the bad guy all along. I'm like, that'd be a cool little spin on it. Like, again, I always did wonder
if, like, what is the Three-Eyed Raven's, like, goal the whole time, other than just to preserve history? Like,
well, yeah,
he has to have some other goal, right? Like, I can save the world, everyone.
So everyone thought, like, just because, like, oh, Bran's Three-Eyed Raven, he became a superhero that was going to stop everything. Like, no, you don't really don't understand the Three-Eyed Raven. His only purpose is to keep history. That's it. That's like going down to the library, looking at a librarian and be like, what supervillain are you going to kill today?
Yeah, it's one
it's
of
like,
the...
no, I'm just going to shelve these books and maybe order a couple new ones.
All right, so... My last thought is just a tweet from @JayWoodham. Tyrion, people love stories, and nobody has a better story than Bran. Jon Snow, who went from the Stark bastard to Lord Commander to King in the North, who was literally killed and resurrected, who slayed his queen, aunt, lover for the good of the realm. Jim Halpert looks to camera.
Again, shit like that annoys me.
Because, I just think it's funny.
Right, but... Someone made that serious, or people are taking that seriously. It's like, they're not saying that Bran's adventure was the best adventure. Like, Bran's story is literally the story of all history. How are you going to top that story?
It's also kind of interesting to think now, too, that, like... Sorry, I'm watching this video that's 1 second for every episode. It's just like... Oh, I remember when that happened. Man, I must have actually watched more than seasons 5, 6, and 7
oh,
and 8.
Faceless Assassin.
But like, shit, what was I going to say? This video totally threw me off.
Also, can we just give a round of applause that John got to pet his dog again? Like, yay. He did it.
They probably saw the outcry and be like,
how quick can we get a reshoot of this?
Like, Kit, get here now. But what if this was all like Martin's secret plan? Like,
conspiracy theory.
Like he was writing book 6 and he's like, hold on. I'm still writing, quote unquote. You guys finish the series. All right, they don't like Danny going mad. They don't like this. Cool. Now, look, guys, the books. Danny doesn't go mad. Bran doesn't become king. All of the great things that you hated about the season now are not in the book. So fuck them. The books are better. But at the same time, if Martin does that, he'll get called the fuck out. Be like, no, here's your original plan, dog. You gonna play us like that?
Oh, I remember my thing. A lot of people are like, yeah, you remember when Bran just kind of warged for no apparent reason? What if he's been setting up all of these events this entire time? And again, it's not even Bran at this point. It's the Three-Eyed Raven.
Yeah.
And someone's like, yo, Jaime Lannister is the worst Kingslayer ever. He tried to kill the king 8 seasons earlier. Just like, man, that fucking sucked out his job. And with that, we're going to bring everything to a close.
Real quick, I like the other theory about Drogon. Where people are like trying to eat, they're on two sides of the camp of like either deep metaphorical shit of him burning the throne of like, this is what destroyed my mom and I'm going to destroy it. And at the same time of like, no, he flew in, saw the sharp pointy thing in his mommy, saw the fluffy bearded man crying over the grave, and then saw the pointy chair and thought, pointy chair killed mommy. So I'm going to kill it.
The third theory? Because Daenerys is kind of like the oddball Targaryen. Like, she, not all Targaryens are fireproof, apparently, according to the books. Daenerys was just kind of, like, super special. And she's always had that close connection with Drogon. So, like, what if, and after her death, she warged into him and just kind of, like, burned down the Iron Throne herself? Just
grabs her own body, but, like, peace out.
Yeah. Again,
that's a weird
one. Moment that could have made it better was just at the end, Jon and Tormund are going north. Drogon lands next to them, starts flying with them. And it's just like, cool. End it.
Except they made it clear, they're like, no, Drogon hates the North. Like, they're like, no, get us the fuck out of here.
Couple of really cool positive things. Pirate Queen Arya. Daenerys Sith Lord with dragon wings. Sansa's fucking outfit was amazing.
Westeros being ADA compliant.
Some good things. And with that, we end this brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast. And thank you guys for listening, and thanks for listening to our last Game of Thrones talk. There will be nothing else to ever unite the internet.
It's done.
Ever again.
Something will take its place eventually.
I don't know if the internet will ever be united again.
Because unless the Lord of the Rings Amazon series is like fucking fire.
There has to be something like monumentally groundbreaking to unite the internet again. Because I feel like this has been like the
thing is we won't know schism. Thing is we won't know what that is until it happens.
Yeah. Until everyone's like
Chernobyl.
I don't think I've heard it's good, but I don't know if it's groundbreaking.
And I think a lot of HBO's
reactor already breaking been canceled. It's reactor breaking more than anything.
But there's gonna be that one magical moment of like, yeah, I watched the show. It's awesome. Yeah, me too. I loved it. Best friends.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys for listening. As always, you can reach us out. You're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. You can also hit us up at
z2podcast.com/comment.
And you can message us and we'll read you stuff live on air, any criticism, commentary. We have one really cool dude who saved up 52 episodes to marathon.
Good lord. Like, it's so much dated content, my dude.
I can't wait till he gets to the part where we just spoil the D&D character.
Well, all right, so it's about, that's like near hour 190 or something.
See, I don't think it's that long because our episodes are usually about 2 hours on average.
About
52.
Okay,
but that was like 3 weeks ago.
90, yeah, okay, like that'd have to be hour 90 then, sorry.
So that has to be 4 hours per episode to get near 200.
Still a lot.
Yeah, I don't like listening to myself that much. Sometimes I need to take quiet breaks from myself. I literally
tell my students, I'm tired of hearing myself talk. Someone else read this for me.
I'll take quiet breaks. I'm like, I haven't spoken in like 17 hours.
It's like the coolest thing ever. See, I'm a teacher. I just have to rant. I made students cry today reading a story.
Just, all right. We're done. Anyways,
yeah, we're done. Hit us up on your major podcasting services. Leave us a review so we can get up there in the algorithm. And we'll see you guys later. Love you, Westeros. Pirate Queen Arya for life.
Mortal Kombat!